Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me is the Million Dollar Man. It's David Dudley. And David, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, I guess the first thing I need to talk about is the FLW Championship. And for the first time ever, you won $500,000 at a single event on the James River. And that had to be a fun day for you.
Oh, yeah, it was an extremely fun day.
Well, you kind of go back and you look at that tournament and you kind of reflect on, the way you practice and some of those kind of things. And really, as you prepare for one of those events, what are some of the things that you do to try to get ready to win 500,000?
I'm pretty much going to every tournament, whether it's a championship or a regular season tournament, the same way. But one thing I did do different in that tournament was not practice much out on the water. And the reason I elected to do that was because the bite was really tough, and when the bite's really tough, the more I practice, the more mentally and the confidence factor goes down. And anytime in fishing, if you don't have a strong mental game and a confidence factor, you're, out in left field somewhere. So for this particular tournament, I elected not to practice much, just for the simple fact that I could follow my instincts as the tournament went on. And case in point, it ended up being the best way that I knew to do it, and it ended up winning the tournament.
Well, you look back at that and you're used to big purses. You've had a couple of those big purses and it's got to be one of those things where you think, hey, when I get in this big event, I'm going to get so structured, so ready to go that sometimes you kind of overguess once in a while, but you're saying you use your instincts and you're able to go out there and just fish kind of on those, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's I have the same intensity no matter what tournament I enter. But it's a extreme hard learning process that I've went through the last 9 years, and it's hard to enter a $500,000 tournament not practicing, and that takes a lot of discipline of knowing how you are as a person on your mental aspect and as your confidence level. And even though I didn't practice much, I was still confident in entering the tournament.
Well, I got to give you, I know there's a little bit of cheating involved in this, and I'll give you that because you're a tidal expert. And that cheating means is you know the tides probably better than anybody, and you really had to use those in this particular tournament big time.
Yeah, everybody keeps calling me the tide expert, and I'm really not the tide expert. I feel I'm very knowledgeable of current, and anytime you have tides and in river situations, you have current. I understand current very well. I can read current. I know positions of fish. I know what they do in current. So understanding tides is very simple. You have a high tide and low tide. But where the trick comes into play, no matter what tide you're fishing, whether you're fishing a high tide or low tide, you have to understand where that fish is positioned at every level that you're faced with during the day. And the reason everybody always elects for a low tide is because there's very little cover left in the water. So everybody's like, duh, there's one little limb left in the water, and they throw over there and catch it. But it takes a little bit of brains in behind what you do on a high tide, where that fish is at and where he's positioned at to get him to bite. And I think that's what separates me a little bit more, is my understanding of current and the way fish position themselves in current.
Well, in particular in the James River this time, very, very high tides, almost exceptional flood tides, and you really didn't have that low tide like you were talking about.
Right. Yep. But anytime you're as in practicing for any tournament, whether it's a tidal river or whatever, you're always looking for every scenario that may happen. And when I came across this flat, case in point, if it's a high tide, that's always in the back of my head. This would probably be a good place on a high tide. So entering the tournament, here we have an extreme high tide with the full moon the way it was, and I knew exactly where to go. And when I went there, because I never practiced it, where I didn't never pass. I made one pass on it, had two little bites in practice. That's it. But because of me not spending a lot of time on there, my confidence level was very high. I was able to fish everything there to learn it during the tournament, where I probably would have been stubborn heading if I would have fished it in practice, trying to catch them the way I did practice instead of letting my instincts tell me where to go.
Well, you know, David, you look back at these events, and, you know, they're becoming very, very lucrative. You know, $1 million in two tournaments for you, and you start thinking about, well, you know, what could have been, might have been, but you've had that kind of come to fruition for you. You've been able to see that happen. Has it changed your life?
No, it really has. The only thing it's changed is probably the relief of pressure of getting a check every tournament. You know, not to say I'm financially set and I'm scot-free the rest of my life, but it does relieve the pressure of having to produce a check every tournament to go make my bills.
Well, that has got to be one of those things as an angler that makes you feel good. Now, right at the FLW Championship, actually right before it, there was a new Dudley that came into the world.
Yep, we had our first boy. His name is Mason Davis Dudley. He's now 3.5 months old, and we are also in the process of adopting another baby that we're going to be getting her from Ukraine. She's going to be a girl, and I'm not quite sure when it's going to be complete. You never know with the adoption, but hopefully by springtime we'll have her.
Well, that's just outstanding. Now, that's going to make it so that you're going to have to win another $500,000 the next time you go out. You know that?
Well, keep my drive going.
Yeah, that's right. Well, once you get that momentum going, you got to get behind it. Now, one of the things, I know you're throwing a new rod made by Kistler Corporation. It's called the Helium. Tell me a little bit about that, if you would.
I'll tell you what. When he came to me and approached me with this rod, I've always had a mindset of, you know, rods aren't that big of a deal. You know, it's more about knowing where to go catch the fish, and rods don't help you that much. But I've always used the lower end of class rods, you know, just, you know, your lower class of rods. But this year, I went to the Kistler Helium Series rod, and he introduced me to them, and I agreed to use them this year, even though I thought they wouldn't make a difference. But I'm telling you, after using them, there's no doubt in my mind that people need to invest in everything they can in a rod, because if you look at my stats, I finished second this year for Angler of the Year, and I know a large part of that is due because of that rod. And the, you know, say if you felt one more fish a day with that rod at the end of the year, that one more fish in this tournament, two fish in this tournament because you had a sensitive rod, adds up, and I almost won Angler of the Year this year.
Well, you know, they're so light, they've got such great backbone, and they're really, you know, I always talk to Trey Kistler about it. I tell him, you know, he's really one of the guys that are really innovating in the sport of with the rods anyway. A lot of guys, they still have the same blanks, they're still the same handles, but Trey's really finding a way to come up with some innovations in those rods.
He sure is, and I can't wait to get back out next season and put them to work again.
Well, you know, David, we get such a quick turnaround from the time you finish the season to the time the tour begins again. In January, you're going to light it back up and get on the road again. You got to be excited. You got a roll going.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. I had a great year last year. Even, you know, I hope I can keep it going. You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to maintain a roll. You know, Tiger Woods is probably the best at staying on top of the level, but you have to keep that intensity up, and that's what I'm always striving to try to keep in my head, is keep the intensity up.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.